Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
Being able to ensure that the manure can get applied on a timely basis is important.
Daryl Timmerman, past president, Minnesota Pork Producers.
It's kind of twofold. Number one, you want to make sure that we can responsibly get it removed from the facilities on time so that there's no issues on that front. But more importantly, it has to do with as far as getting it applied to maximize the value and the fertilizer value, and being able to get it applied in conjunction with the timing for the row crop operations. So thinking primarily about the soil conditions in the spring as compared to soil conditions in the fall, that would be a challenge. And so producers, pig farmers that have that manure, if they have to wait to apply till the spring, they then have the burden of potentially having lower yields. Lower yields really relates to higher corn cost on your own production and that kind of a thing.
This is Agriculture Today.
Took you 100 or 240 years to get where we're at. And once again, for a lot of people listening, those are the gross numbers because we borrow from the trust funds. But the other problem you actually have to have if you really want to geek out is by the end of this budget window, so in the next 8 years, 9 years, the trust funds are almost empty.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert on the floor of the House of Representatives waving a warning flag.
One of our models basically says in mid-2033, the Social Security Trust Fund is empty. And it's not because someone stole your money. It was demographics. We haven't had enough young workers. And Social Security was always designed as a pay-as-you-go system. And the money that comes out of the Social Security Trust Fund and is loaned to Treasury. Treasury pays an interest. And actually, in the past, it's actually been a little above even some of the market interest you would have gotten. Problem is, every single month, Treasury gets a little note from Social Security saying, hey, we got our FICA tax collections. It's not enough for all the checks going out the door. Treasury, we want some cash. And so they cash in their what they call special, let's call them special T-bills. And because the brain trust in this place decided in lame duck that we were going to extend some additional Social Security benefits without paying for them, we actually shortened the life of the Social Security Trust Fund. Some of the math in 2033 looks like the trust fund will be gone. And if we don't fix it, we double senior poverty in America. This is the morality of this place. And the Democrats right now are writing an ad to attack an idiot like me for telling the truth, because they care so much more about winning the next election than doubling senior poverty in America. They're going to try to scare the hell out of you instead of stepping up and saying, here's how you do it. And understand, 2034, 2035, when you have a full year and the trust fund and Social Security is gone, we calculate that's like $600 billion a year. So think about what we're fighting over here is, you know, it may be $400 billion a year to extend the tax policy so people's taxes don't go up. But by the end of this window, you got another $600 billion a year to deal with. And it gets worse every single year. And that's not even dealing with the fact that a couple of years outside the budget window, the Medicare Part A trust fund is also empty. Is this place capable of dealing with difficulties? And for everyone out there, when your reaction is, well, just raise taxes. I've done it a half a dozen times on the floor, so the staff was telling me, everyone that watches, that the six people that watch this are bored with it. Go on the Manhattan Institute's website. I think it's Riedel, has a great article from a year ago, and he took all the tax hiking policies that have been functionally offered by the Democrats and scored them and said, here's the economic effects, here's what you get. You know, this is the tax the rich, okay? Everyone over $400,000. And at the end, the calculation came out to you get about 1.5% of GDP. Okay. Yay. We're going to borrow close to 7% of the entire economy this year. Does anyone see a math problem when your default is, well, we're going to tax rich people more? Okay. It doesn't get you close to where you have to be. And if that chart I just showed you a moment ago, if we were to do these things without offsets, in 9 budget years, we're no longer borrowing about 7% of the entire economy. We're borrowing close to 9.2% of the entire economy. And it's not popular because, you know, the folks out there want their feelings satiated and don't own calculators. I'm sorry. I know I'm being a bit of a jerk, and I'm just tired of dealing with lunacy. The primary driver of debt is demographics.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're on time with the tariffs, and it seems like that's moving along very rapidly.
At a White House event with French President Emmanuel Macron, President Donald Trump.
We've been mistreated very badly by many countries, not just Canada and Mexico. We've been taken advantage of. We were led by, in some cases, fools, because anybody that would sign documents like they signed, where they were able to take advantage of the American people, like has happened over the last long period of time, except for a little four-year period that took place 4 years ago. Anybody that would agree to allow this to happen to our country should be ashamed of themselves. Now, the tariffs are going forward on time, on schedule. This is an abuse that took place for many, many years. And I'm not even blaming the other countries that did this. I blame our leadership for allowing it to happen. I mean, you know, who can blame them if they made these great deals with the United States, took advantage of the United States on manufacturing, on just about everything, every aspect that you can imagine they took advantage of. I look at some of these agreements, I'd read them at night and I'd say, who would ever sign a thing like this? So the tariffs will go forward, yes, and we're going to make up a lot of territory. We're going to, all we want is reciprocal. We want reciprocity. We want to have the same. So if somebody charges us, we charge them. It's very simple, but it'll be very good for our country. Our country will be extremely liquid and rich again. Plus, we're doing other things, as you know. We're finding tremendous waste, fraud, and abuse at levels that nobody thought possible. You're seeing what's going on. And that was also part of the Harvard poll. Do you agree with what President Trump is doing with Elon and others that are looking for the waste, fraud, and abuse? And the numbers were staggering. It was like 70% to 2%. Everybody wants to find out. They don't like it. And, you know, the radical left or whoever it may be starts screaming about the Constitution. But it has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do with fairness to this country. It has to do with being ripped off. And when you read the things that all of these billions, and I mean many billions, hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent on, that's all you have to do is stand up here and read them. I could stand up all day and read the kind of things where we're spending all of this money. The good news is that when you think of how rich a nation we can be when we get rid of this, you know, sometimes you'll buy a company and you'll see it was really well run. They accounted for every penny. Well, not much you can do there. You get yourself a bad deal. This one is the exact opposite. Tremendous fraud, tremendous waste. And when you think of what it is, you know, Elon uses an expression, caring. If we had people that cared, just cared a little bit when they did contracts, when they negotiated with outside vendors for on behalf of the United States, that's what I'm doing now. I'm negotiating for the people of the United States. So we're doing a great job of it. I will say we found it'll be hundreds of billions of dollars of waste and fraud and abuse.
Kevin Hassett is director of the National Economic Council. He talks about revenue from tariffs.
And in fact, if you think about the China tariff revenue that we're estimating is coming in from the 10% that we just added, plus the de minimis thing, that it's between $500 billion and $1 trillion over 10 years is our estimate. And that's something that is outside of the reductions that markets are seeing through the negotiations up on the Hill. And so we expect that the tariff revenue is actually going to make it much easier for Republicans to pass a bill. And that was the president's plan all along.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
When I started my farm, I knew how to rotationally graze and to care for livestock. And I also felt confident at marketing because of some previous job experience. But I'd never even looked at QuickBooks, let alone applied for a business loan.
Hannah Barnhart with Medicine Creek Farms in Minnesota.
I was in my third year of farming, hobbling together my records in notebooks and spreadsheets when I first worked with Farm Business Management. I had no idea what to expect, and as a beginner, I know I would not have understood the value or felt I could afford Farm Business Management had I not been given a scholarship through the Land Stewardship Project's Journey Person program. But at the end of my very first meeting with a farm financial advisor at my farm, I felt a huge sense of relief about my finances and the decisions I was making. We hadn't solved every pressing question, but just having an expert to talk to who had seen all kinds of complicated financial situations and was unfazed by my operation made me feel really secure that we would figure it all out. In the years since then, I can't imagine not having an FVM instructor to help me evaluate my financial standing and also stay creative in exploring other sources of revenue. So, for instance, he's helped me make the hard decision to move away from my least profitable enterprise. He's encouraged me to expand on my strengths in agritourism. And last year, he helped walk me through the overwhelming process of hiring my first employees. I also know farm business management to be adaptable and responsive to the needs of all farmers. So several years ago, my instructor invited me to speak to the annual FVM staff meeting about the unique needs of direct market and diversified operations. And FVM immediately responded by working to hire new emerging farmer instructors and use grant money to start an intro to farm business management program for other direct market farmers. So in closing, I can't express enough the benefit of this program for beginning and experienced farmers alike. And I strongly support funding to expand the hiring of instructors with experience in specialty crops, land transition, and mental health. Farming is inherently stressful because there's so much you can't control. And I've actually asked my instructor if he ever feels more like a therapist having to listen to all of Farmers Money's anxieties. So I really appreciate Representative Nelson's focus on rural mental health and know that it will allow farm business management to continue to serve farmers well.
Hunter Peterson is president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau, says very few farms right now can cash flow.
I guess I would just say that the Farm Business Management Program really does improve farmers' business management skills. And it really does save family farms. About 2 weeks ago, I was talking with one of our members who is an FBM instructor. And she told me right now she's working with about 50 farms. And of those 50, she could right now make 5 of them cash flow, which I think just shows how difficult times are for farmers and agricultural markets. But moreover, I bring this up because, FBM instructors, they do incredible work. But they are human like the rest of us. And so, they take on that emotional toll and the stress the farms are working with, kind of as Ms. Bernhardt alluded to with her FPM instructors, perhaps sometimes feeling like a therapist. Continued funding, increased funding for this program will help ensure that, these instructors have a reasonable workload. It's going to be key to help managing their stress on the job and preventing burnout ultimately. So stability and longevity for these faculty members will keep the FBM program strong and preserve more family farms in Minnesota.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
If we were just to do this TCJ extensions, which I believe we need to do, we're not going to raise taxes on working people, but we need to find a way to pay for it. Because it's not only the $5.5 trillion that CBO is now scoring if you did it to 2035, it's the $1.3 trillion financing cost of doing that. That's the interest.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
How about no tax on overtime pay? Okay, it's the passion of the president. But we need to come up with $3 trillion to cover that cost over 10 years. And if we don't, that it adds another $700 billion of interest costs. If we do no tax on Social Security, that functionally comes out to almost $1.8 trillion. And almost all that money goes to extra to Social Security and Medicare. Well, we got to find a way to cover that if we're not going to have tax on Social Security. How about SALT for the folks in California and New York who are basically saying they will not vote to extend the tax policy unless they get something for their areas? Okay, well, that could actually be another $1.2 trillion over the 10 years, another $300 billion in interest if we don't pay for that. No tax on tips. Actually, turns out that one's actually fairly easy. It may be 0.6 trillion, so $600 billion over 10. Our math is it's a little higher, but that's the number we've been given. You got to understand, everyone has these wish lists. The president, members of Congress, our constituents, everyone wants something. Great. We need to look at the fact of how does it help the society grow economically, because prosperity is moral, and how do we pay for it in a way, because if we keep pushing up the U.S. debt, I showed a couple of weeks ago that if we were to make the bond, the debt market's nervous. A single point of interest, a single point over the next 10 years costs the average American family $30,000 because you'd have higher car loan, higher home loan, higher credit card, higher student loans, everything else around you. You got to think about it. There's no free option here. We need to do the data to find out where there's bad acts, where there's things we can make more efficient. Then we're going to have to make hard decisions here saying that policy is 20, 30 years out of date. We need to end that program or we need to modernize it. Because if you don't, if we just do the expiring tax provisions and don't pay for them, understand in 9 budget years, interest alone is over $2 trillion a year, and that's on today's interest rates. So, Mr. Speaker, if you're one of the people like me who believes if we make the debt markets nervous and they start raising our interest rates, you're walking right into that thing they call a debt spiral. This is current policy if we just do it without paying for it. And that's assuming interest rates don't go up on us. I've shown in the past a chart that basically says if U.S. interest rates, and I said this last week and I need to drill it in so maybe someone hears it, if U.S. interest rates went up to a 6 handle, which we've been close before, in 9 budget years, 45% of all U.S. tax collections go just interest. This isn't a game. This isn't a wish list of, I don't want to do difficult things. Do difficult things today, because if you blow this up, in the near future, it gets almost impossible to deal with. And the dystopian crap you'd have to do the American people will make today's tough decisions look like a walk in the park.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
For those of you that don't know, we had the new USDA secretary come in to Kentucky. The first visit that she made after being confirmed and sworn in, she was on the job for less than 24 hours and set foot on the good bluegrass that we have here.
Commissioner of Kentucky Agriculture, Jonathan Schell.
I think that's a big deal for Kentucky. I think it's a big deal for our agriculture community, and I think it'll pay dividends into the future. We've been working on that relationship for about 3 months. Things just don't happen. And I would like to commend our Representative Bivens. He's very integral in the Kentucky venues and especially around Farm Machinery Show and the tractor pulls and relationships that he had. He was texting one of their staff members in D.C. and said, hey, can we get a video of Trump, you know, to come down here for the tractor pulls? And so they called me and asked me what I thought about that. And I said, that's great, but how about we just get her here? And we worked for about 3 weeks, Ryan, to be able to do that. And boy, it was something else. It was an experience of a lifetime. And I can tell you that for her, she is going to focus on rural development. That is one of her biggest initiatives that her and President Trump want to focus on. And I think the foundation that we've laid in Kentucky around ag is economic development and putting a focus on that. When I talked to her about 3 months ago, we had about a 40-minute conversation on a Zoom call, and we talked about ag is economic development. We talked about our food is medicine initiative with the Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA movement. We talked about our farm safety and Raising Hope programs. And all of those things, when we got done, she said, Kentuckians are being visionaries in this. We want to figure out how we can make this something that's national. And I want to give you one, because we're working on doing this farm safety and the Raising Hope and bringing more to it. I want to give you one other thing. And I know I've bragged on Ryan quite a bit in here this morning, just different stuff that we've said. But so we brought in Secretary Rollins, and Ryan was there, and he brought his boys in, Osiris and Avery. And I want to give you, for instance, as to why these programs are so important in the state and what it means for that next generation and why what you do in this room and the decisions that you make are going to make an impact for the future. So Ryan got introduced to her, and him and his boy Avery walked off. Well, Cyrus is 16 years old. He's in FFA. He's in 4-H. He's one of the most amazing young men that you'll ever meet. And Ryan walked off, and he thought it was kind of done. And you could see this happening in Cyrus's head. He kind of hung his head and looked at the floor, and you could see that he kind of shook his head, and he was building up that courage. And he turned around and he said, Secretary Rollins, I'd like to tell you about a program that we have here in Kentucky called Raising Hope. And he went and gave one of the most elegant explanations of the farmer suicide problem that we have, about the farm safety issues that we work on, and his involvement in that. And I've never been more proud of a program that we have and actually what it means for the future of this state of having a 16-year-old be able to have the courage. How many of you all do you think would have had the courage to be able to do what that young man did? I was in awe of what he was able to accomplish with that. The next day, we were able to explain a lot more about that program, and it's something that she wants to try and take national now. In a lot of the focus that we have around farmer safety, farmer rescue, and farmer suicide or farmer health. And so I'm really excited about the opportunities that we have with Secretary Rollins, and I'm grateful for what you all have laid in a foundation. I'm doing a lot of things right now, but it's because of you all in here that have laid that foundation and the policies that you've passed in this legislature to allow for us to do that. So I want to say thank you for giving us that national platform and the forward thinking that you all have had.
Representative Myron Dossett is chairman of the Kentucky House Ag Committee.
When we think of agriculture, so many of us look in, and people at home think of the farmer in the field. They think of what they see, the tractor going across the field or the corn, soybeans growing. Agriculture is so much more than that. Row crops put in about $10 billion into our economy here for Kentucky, but agriculture as a whole is over $60 billion of revenue that comes to our state. So I'm very proud of my background of growing up in a rural area there in Christian County, just as Representative Watkins mentioned, of having that home base coming from Hopkinsville.
It's agriculture today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
So let's take a look at this one. This is one of my favorite. This is as of last Friday. I think there were 40,000 folks, according to the Wall Street Journal, who had said they'll take the early retirement.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
The reality of it, with the technology we have today, you could have a revolution in the federal workforce. You could dramatically change the number of people. How many law firms today actually have a fraction of the people they had 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, because of the use of technology? Why wouldn't you accept the same thing for your federal government? Remember, you're paying for this, but you got to understand the real math. If 40,000 federal workers, and I'm not actually even talking about the buyouts, that just their base salary, average salary, $106,000, so do that times, and then we added in wages and benefits, times 40,000, it's one day of borrowing. On average right now, we're burning about $6 billion a day. 40,000 federal employees are gone. We covered one day of borrowing. And guess what? You absolutely are going to need to do things like that. But don't act like you just solved the U.S. debt problem. It's dozens and dozens of these things you have to stack up. So let's actually have a little bit more. I'm trying to tone down the sarcasm because we got to do these things. Let's get rid of foreign aid. You just covered 1 week of borrowing. Can't tell you how many times I'm at home and people say, if we just didn't have foreign aid, we could balance the budget. It's a week of borrowing. U.S. will waste billions of dollars on the United Nations. Okay, get rid of the United Nations. It's 2 days of borrowing. Let's take a look here. The U.S. spends too much on the Smithsonian and national parks. Okay, so if we're borrowing $6 billion a day and the Smithsonian costs $1 billion a year, you basically just cover, what, 4 hours? Okay, maybe you don't want the museums. Maybe you want to create interest fees. Well, you want to do something else. But don't act like you just balance the budget by doing something like that. Let's do another one. Cutting congressional salaries would solve the deficit. Look, we're probably overpaid for the quality of our work. But if you're borrowing $6 billion a day, and you do that, you basically, if you got rid of congressional salaries, I think it's 20 minutes for an entire year. So take an entire year of borrowing, you just covered 20 minutes. Stop saying crazy stuff. You know, these are serious problems. Maybe we need serious people to start actually thinking about these things. So let's take a look at another one. The government spends billions on unused federal office buildings. Absolutely. We need to clean this up. And it would be about, let's see, 6 hours, maybe 7 hours of borrowing. Get rid of all those unused office space, which we should do. Absolutely need to do that. But it's like 6 or 7 hours worth of borrowing because we're burning over $6 billion every single day. Am I making a point? Are you starting to understand the scale what members of Congress have to take on? And these trite little sound bites don't get you anywhere. Cutting funding to NPR, PBS, and the National Endowment of the Arts would save billions. Cover 4 hours. 4 hours of borrowing. You know, maybe you should. Maybe you should actually turn those into public trust, let the public pay other than taxpayers, you know, have them fundraise, fine. But don't act like you just solved the national debt problem. It's 4 hours of borrowing.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
USDA's latest annual look at the number of farms in our country reveals
the total number of farms for 2024, that estimate is at 1,880,000. That was down 14,950 farms from 2023.
Brian Combs of the National Agricultural Statistics Service adds that all categories in farm sales class noted year-over-year decreases, with one exception.
The largest operations continue to increase in number, so those would be those $1 million or more operations.
As for total landed farms,
we were at 876,460,000 acres.
Combs says that's a 2.1 million acre decrease from the previous year. What was the average farm size for 2024?
The average farm size did grow slightly, so it went from 464 acres in 2023 to 466 acres in 2024.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.